This is the Dugout Report, and we're back off our 50-game steroid suspension. It's been a while since we did a podcast, since our boy Manny went on the DL. And I'm Wes, and with me, as usual, is Tiffany.
Hi, guys.
And so we're going to just get straight back into it as if we've been doing podcasting for the last, 6 weeks. Let's start off with a big story in the Bay Area. All-Star News, Tim Lincecum is in. Matt Cain is in. Pablo Sandoval is not in. Pretty disappointing around here, the attitude seems to be. I mean, he's one of the league leaders in hitting.
Yeah, he's batting .328 with 13 home runs. He definitely deserves to be considered, but he didn't win the final vote, so.
I don't know how much of a fan I am of the way that the final vote like broke down. The whole Brand Torino, where Tigers fans bonded with Phillies fans to vote for the corresponding player. Basically, I guess what happened was Phillies fans agreed to, well, basically the way that the vote worked is that when you vote, you have to vote for an AL and an NL. It's not just one guy. So all the Phillies fans agreed to vote for the Tigers' Brandon Inge, and all the Tigers fans agreed to vote for the Phillies' Shane Victorino. So in sort of like a double team, Pablo was defeated by combined Detroit and Philadelphia fans by a pretty narrow margin. I think it was he came in second, so I know we're not going to get to see one of the most exciting players in baseball.
Pablo should have bonded with, like, Kindler or something.
Yeah, they talked about, actually, some kind of, like, Giants-Rangers agreement, but obviously it was not enough for now.
Well, and now Jason Worth just got to be the replacement for Beltran, so that's also, people are talking about if Pablo should have been the replacement.
Worth gets picked, and he's not even one of the final five that was on the final vote ballot, which is supposedly the next five guys that manager Charlie Manuel wanted to put out there. So, I mean, Kemp got overlooked as an outfielder, so it's not just that they wanted to replace an outfielder with an outfielder.
Yeah, and Worth is really hot right now. Like, Worth has hit, like, three homers in the last. But otherwise, I don't know how much he deserves to be there, but it's also his manager picking him. So, and it could be because he's an outfielder.
My counter to that would be, why didn't he pick Matt Kemp? Because Kemp was on the final ballot, and he's having a great season, too. So why go with Worth over Kemp, other than the fact that he's on his team, which is...
Because he's rewarding his Phillies. He's rewarding his Phillies for winning the World Series.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of rewarding players for going to the World Series because especially in a game that counts, and we'll just kind of segue into this. And the All-Star game, as usual for the past few years, counts. It's the winner of the game is going to get home field advantage. And for the past however many 10 to 12 years, it's been the American League that's won the game. So it's in a National League park this year.
Yep.
But if the American League wins again, it's going to be home field advantage for, I guess, for the Red Sox in October.
Oh, yeah. Of course, it's the Red Sox.
Yeah, I don't know how you feel about the whole this one counts, this time it counts MLB thing for the All-Star game.
I don't know. I think if it counts, that we need to take some of the fans... But the fans have so much say in it. I think we need to take a little bit of that away because it counts and the players know more than the fans. Than not necessarily like us, but like the average fan that's voting doesn't know everything to make the best All-Star team for the AL and the NL that have the best fans.
So then if you're gonna have it be that way, shouldn't it just be that the players vote or the managers vote? Because you would think that they would have the most insight into creating the best team.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then maybe the fans can have some say, which, like, the final vote is the only thing the fans should have.
You see the managers vote on the Gold Glove Awards, and then year after year we hear about, like, last year, for instance, Nate McCloth won the Gold Glove in center field, and Michael Young won one at shortstop. And then a week later, 2 weeks later, you'll hear these articles coming out of, like, Baseball Reference, Baseball Intellect, and other sites saying that the metrics say that these guys are actually some of the worst fielders in the game. So despite what the thought inside the baseball sort of management view of the players is, statistically, they're actually not good defenders. And we saw that with Michael Young being moved to third base for Elvis Andrus this year. So it's a little confusing. I think that...
Yeah, well, would you rather have... If you're a player and it counts this much now, there's this much on the line, there's home field advantage in the World Series, would you rather have the fans making your lineup or managers who this is what they do every day making your lineup?
I don't think that it should. First of all, I don't think that the game should count for that because you're getting players that aren't going to be even in the playoffs, deciding who's going to have home field for the World Series, which is a big deal. And so you've got guys like Freddy Sanchez is going to decide where the Dodgers are going to have home field, or the Phillies are going to have home field, whether or not it could come down to a play with Freddy Sanchez, and he's not going to be involved in the playoffs. So first of all, I would say don't award home field advantage based on that. But if you are going to do it, then yeah, I think you're right. Go with the players and say, all right, let's have a little vote amongst the players only, and then we'll start the lineup that you guys want to put out there, because ultimately it comes down to the players in the playoff. And then so that's sort of the Freddy
But
Sanchez.
I mean, it still is, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It still is for the fans. That's why every team has a representative, because it's for the fans. If your team doesn't have a representative,
Well, if you want your team to have a representative, vote for him. Like, I mean, these the teams that aren't gonna that are probably wouldn't get representatives if they weren't chosen by managers are teams that didn't go out and vote for their players, are Pirates fans, are Nationals fans. And what I mean, if you want to see it, they get as many ballots in their stadiums as Red Sox fans or Yankee fans. They can go online. So, I mean, if you really want to have your player, go ahead and vote for him. And it's not like
okay,
those
but
teams are selling their sell. It's not like there's consistent sellouts in RFK for the Nationals and they're gonna or I guess they don't play at RFK anymore, but it's not like these teams are selling out their stadiums and there's gonna be like hordes and hordes of fans. It's gonna be 3,000 Nationals fans are upset that they're not getting a guy in,
I guess I
2,000
just don't
Pittsburgh
agree
fans.
necessarily. I don't agree with that necessarily because you have the big Japanese population and everything voting for Ichiro. That's why he always gets like some of the most votes. And then also like the A's don't have a position player, well, besides Kurt Suzuki, that could even like be considered to be an all-star. So the only all-star we could have is a pitcher. And we can't vote for a pitcher. That's all on the manager's and everything decision. So how are the A's gonna ever have a representative?
Well, Bailey's a deserving representative as a pitcher to be chosen, but if you're just gonna vote for hitters, as is the case, then why not have it, or why not go fully and just say no, you don't have to get it, but say okay, you've got it, everyone's got to have a representative, but the representative chosen might be one of the final five. So then, okay, well, you didn't have a player really worthy of being locked into the team, but maybe we'll have someone on the final ballot instead of requiring teams to, okay, you've got to have one. Okay, we'll give you one, but it's going to be on the final vote. So if you really want your team's player in there, you've got to go out and you've got to have the type of voting scheme or sort of movement that we saw this year with Brandon Ingen, with Shane Victorino. What do you think about
The alliances.
Well, I mean, don't you think that would be a little bit of, okay, you really want to see your guy in there? You can go out and do it. Because I don't want to, I mean, especially if you're on one of these winning clubs that has the big fan base, you don't want maybe a player from one of these lesser teams that doesn't deserve to be there, that wouldn't be there otherwise. You don't want him deciding the game for you.
Are you counting the A's out already?
Not for 2012, but yeah, the A's look pretty much done to me. I mean, what do you, what so
No, yeah, that's actually a good idea because then the fans have to go out there and vote.
All right, so let's talk about Holiday. A's went out and picked up former star Matt Holiday, former All-Star, and he's come to Oakland and he's been a disappointment.
He has definitely been a disappointment. He's batting .275.
He's been average.
He's
He's been an
got eight
average
home
player.
runs and 43 RBIs. He's barely leading our team in RBIs. He's like third on our team in home runs. He should be leading our team in every category.
He's a very, very, very average player. I mean,
He
if you look at
should be
the
leading the A's. Yes, very. Especially if you're looking at him on the A's. The A's are a very, very, very bad offense. He should be like far and above everyone on that team.
Well, here's if you look at Holiday, here are the other players fantasy wise that he's the company that he's sharing: Kendry Morales, Freddy Sanchez, Ryan Thoreau, Therio, Franklin Gutierrez, Ian Stewart, Niger Morgan, and Denard Span are guys that are ranked pretty much in the same that have given the same sort of production that Holiday has. So not exactly what the A's were hoping when they gave up Houston Street, who's pretty much rebuilt himself into one of the top closers. He's got a 2.82 ERA with 22 saves, and Carlos Gonzalez still sort of the guy with a lot of potential. Not exactly tearing it up, hitting .213, but he'll be around for a couple of years in Colorado. And Greg Smith hasn't pitched in the major league, so that's not a big loss. But what do the A's do with Mr. Holliday? If you're Billy Bean, what are you doing with him?
Okay, well, my thing right now is I would want to just keep him because I don't know how much we're going to get for him at the trade deadline. I think we just keep him and get some decent draft picks out of it.
Well, now here's the other thing about the draft picks is while you may not get a great player
I think
in a
that's
trade,
the best thing.
you won't necessarily get great draft picks based on his performance this year because my understanding is that compensation picks are based on your performance. So if he's not a type A free agent, then he won't net a supplemental round first round pick for the A. So they could end up with a second round pick, a third round pick, depending on who
He's
signs
really
them, of
screwing
course.
us over.
And so they're going to end up for the cost of Street and Gonzalez, they could end up with just a second round pick.
But I mean, Street was not that good last year, and it made sense at the time. It was worth a try,
Well,
but
no one expected Holliday to just be terrible. I mean,
not working out for us.
at most you'd expect a 300 hit or 30 home run guy, but he's not been close to
I
that.
mean, he's not terrible. He's just not good. Well, yeah, he's an average 315 hitter in his career.
Yeah, so he's not even performing. This is a below average season for him. So speaking of holidays, there's another holiday on the market, and this one is going to get a lot of value if he does end up going anywhere, and that's Toronto's Roy Halladay. A lot of rumors out there for this Halladay, and so where do you think that he's going, or is he going to go somewhere? Or is this just a lot of schnuffle
Holiday for holiday. I already told you this.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that Billy Bean would fall
Oh.
over himself to take that deal, but I don't think JP Riccardi, no matter how good friends he is with Billy Bean, is gonna think about that without wanting to commit some kind of baseball suicide.
I think his best fit would be with the Phillies.
Now there. I mean, there's yeah. That's one of the teams that's been mentioned. They do need a starter, and they do have good
The
prospects. They've
Phillies
got
need another starter.
right. But now the issue with the Phillies, in addition to having to give up probably three of their top prospects, which I went through all the prospects that teams would have likely have to give up on the Dugout Report website, so you can go and check that out at the dugoutreport.wordpress.com. But the other issue is Halliday has a no trade clause, and do you think he'd really want to go to a stadium like Philadelphia's and pitch in there? Because that's been an issue. I mean, Jake Peavy had a trade worked out to go to the White Sox, but
Yes.
he didn't want to go and pitch in that stadium. So is that gonna be an issue for Roy? I mean.
Yeah, but he would be going to the defending champs, a team that I think that the only thing they're missing right now is that last starting pitcher, so.
Yeah, I mean, Halliday goes to Philadelphia. He's the ace. Hamels is the number two, and that's quite a one too. That
I think he will
instantly
be.
rivals the Matt King, Tim Lincecum, the Brandon Webb, Dan Herron. So yeah, okay. I mean, for the Phillies, yeah, it's a no-brainer. But I don't know for Roy, is he gonna pick the Phillies over the Dodgers, pitching a pitcher's park, a division where they've got that division locked up? Or I mean, he's pitched against some of the. I mean, he's familiar with the Red Sox. He's familiar with the Yankees, and that playoff intensity that comes not just in the playoffs, but in the pennant race, and that might be something that he's attracted to. But then, if you're Toronto, do you? And that's the other thing. It's pretty much the consensus that Toronto, if they were to
Well,
offer Halliday
speaking
up
of.
within the division, would get the strongest package from a team like the Red Sox. So I guess what's the balance there with, okay, we could get the best players here, but he's going to be in the division, and we're going to have to face him for the next year, 2 years. Who
Of
knows if
course.
he gets extended?
Well, speaking of Halliday, and you were saying Lincecum, Kane, who do you think should start the All-Star game?
I think Lincecum's pretty much got it for the National League. He's the reigning Cy Young winner. He started yesterday, so he's going to be on perfect rest to start the game. He's leading the National League in complete games. He's got I think he's second in ERA, first in strikeouts. The guy's been outstanding. He's hasn't missed a beat since coming off of his great season last year. So I think he's a choice for me in the National League. I assume you're taking him too, or are you going to go with the former A down in
He
Arizona?
needs to cut his hair.
Well, that's not going to be a boon for Dan Herron either, the other guy that would be considered. He's got some shaggy locks also. But Herron, actually a better ERA even, a better whip.
I would go with Dan Herron, and yeah, Dan Herron's amazing.
I'm taking Lincecum, and I'm on board with that. Who do you got for the American League?
Okay, well, it's kind of funny because if Tanner was here, we could say it would be Lincecum, versus Granky, and then we could see who really is better because you guys had this conversation
That's right.
earlier.
We'll have to get him. We'll have to get him back on. But yeah, Greinke's been outstanding. 2.12 ERA, 129 strikeouts, and 127 in third innings. So he's right there with Lincecum. But fantasy has Lincecum ranked higher than Greinke right now. I don't remember what we bet on the this little wager, but yeah, I think Greinke is the starter.
That'd be a pretty amazing matchup.
Yeah, it looks like well, Greinke's cooled off a little bit, but it looks like it's between Greinke and Felix Hernandez. Greinke has come out and said that he wants to be the starter. But he seems to think that it's between him and Roy Halladay. But he's 2-4 over his last 10 starts. He's sort of fallen off a little bit, but he still has outstanding numbers after starting 8-1.
Well, yeah, and Halliday's fallen off a little bit too, ever since he got back from the DL.
Yeah, I mean he went 7-7 and gave up 3 runs last start, so it's not like he's terrible, but
The home run derby. Okay, so we have Mauer, Longoria, Howard, Adrian Gonzalez, Jason Bay, Brandon Inch, Prince Fielder, Albert Pujols. Who we got?
Okay, so who do you got?
I would take Pujols because he's a machine.
But this is a home run derby, not just a hitting exhibition. I mean, going up against Ryan Howard, going up against Prince Fielder, those are guys with as good or better power than Albert.
He has 31 home runs. He has 31 home runs right now.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, well, I'm gonna go with Howard. Ryan Howard's put on shows before at home run derbies, and all right, then we'll talk about a little trade here. Ryan Church was traded for Jeff Francoeur today. A couple of disappointing outfielders, Mets and Braves. Interdivision trade, kind of strange. I guess both teams hoping for rejuvenation. Church was hitting 280, and Francoeur was hitting 250. So neither one really putting up anything special. Any impact on the pennant race, you think?
No, not really. And the Mets are a major disappointment, so no matter what they're doing, it's not that big of a deal. I think they need to focus on getting healthy until they can do anything.
Yeah, these aren't deal maker type players. I mean, nothing's gonna happen big out of here. Real quick, let's run down the trades that have gone down in our fantasy league thus far, and then do a little eval on the way that those have turned out. So I guess the first trade that we could talk about was the first trade of the year before the season even started, was Corey Hart for Xavier Nady and Wandy Rodriguez. Hart's been Corey Hart, sort of poor average, decent power, decent steals. Xavier Nady's out for the year. But Wandy Rodriguez, 8-6 with a 2.96 ERA. I'd say that's the
Whoa.
winning side.
Yeah, Wandy Rodriguez has been the biggest surprise in that deal. Everyone was kind of making fun of that deal when he made it, and they're like, Wandy Rodriguez, why would you even throw him in? Like, it was kind of just a Nady for Hart kind of thing.
Right, and then so I guess yeah. Well, I would take the Wandy Rodriguez side of that. Even with Nady going down, I think he's been a big time starter. The next deal we'd look at is Alexi Ramirez and Carlos Lee for Jimmy Rollins and Roy Halladay. Now I was the recipient of
Definitely.
Halladay and Rollins, so I'm involved in this. So you're gonna you, why don't you give us your take on it first?
I think that you got the better end of that deal. Alexi is still struggling. He hasn't really lived up to any of the hype that he got before the season started. Jimmy Rollins has struggled, but you have Roy Halladay in that deal, so I think that you definitely got the better end of that one.
Well, thank you. And then the next deal was actually between our two teams, and that was the blockbuster that rattled the league of Ian Kinsler, Garrett Atkins, Shane Victorino, Juan Pierre, Chris Iannetta, Chris Volstad, and Rick Porcello for Brandon Phillips, Hunter Pence, B.J. Upton, Chris Davis, Adam Wainwright, and Chad Billingsley. So a huge trade, 12-player deal. How are you feeling about your take on it so far?
Thanks for taking Chris Davis off my hands, by the way.
Yeah, he was not exactly the biggest part of the deal, and he Davis, of course, is now in the minor leagues. So,
Well, I got Garrett Atkins for Chris Davis, which obviously was better in for me. I'm happy with Ian Kinsler and the way that he's performed. And I mean, I needed a catcher, so I got Iannetta. My pitching has obviously taken a bit of a beating because you took Billingsley and Wainwright, but Volstad did good the other day, so as long as him and Porcello can be decent.
Wainwright, by the way, has been outstanding, allowing just one run over his last 17 and a third innings with the 21 strikeouts. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy about him. Billingsley's been a little bit shaky. I'm really happy with B.J. Upton. I mean, he was at the time of the deal, he was really struggling, but and since the deal, he's just been tearing it up. I mean, he's stealing bases at the same clip. He's starting to hit. He's up to his last month. He's 30 for 103, four home runs and 14 steals, which is about as much as I could ask for from an outfielder. The seventh ranked player over that span. So pretty happy with
Yeah, I
him.
told you that was gonna happen. That's why I didn't want to trade you Upton.
Yeah, well,
You were making fun of him.
I was tricking you. And anyways, I'm not really happy about the way that Victorino has worked out for you. He is pretty much tearing it up, obviously making the All-Star team. He's among the league leaders in hits with 104 already. He's on pace for 30 steals, so letting him go, not the best part of the deal for me. But one of the big questions is Juan Pierre. I mean, he played well for you, but now Manny's back.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about. Manny's back, and where's Pierre in this? I hope they trade him and he can get playing time somewhere else because he definitely deserves to be playing, especially the way he played when Manny was out.
All right, the next trade for us to look at also involved me. I guess I've been pretty active in this league. But it was Rafael Soriano, LaTroy Hawkins, and Adrian Gonzalez for Scott Downs, Ryan Franklin, and Lyle Overbay.
Yeah, you got Adrian Gonzalez, which apparently you're upset about because Adrian Gonzalez is second in the majors in home runs and you're upset about it because he's in
Well,
a little bit of
considering
a
he's only
slump,
hit.
but that's how baseball goes. So I think you need to just ride it out
He's only
and I
hit
think you'll
two
be
over the
fine.
last month, and he's complaining about being tired. So, yeah, I'm not super juiced about that. But Rafael Soriano has been a nice surprise. He's pitching really well since coming over. Now I've got both Atlanta closers, obviously, which is a little sketch. But they're both pitching well. Mike Gonzalez and Soriano both have pretty good ERAs. Soriano's is outstanding. 1.55 with 10 saves. So can't complain about him. Go ahead and check us out. The Dugout Report. .wordpress.com. Shoot us an email at thedugoutreport@gmail.com, and thanks for the download.